I think the main thrust of this whole effort has been to make the public aware of a system that's been in place since the early 80s. Satellites that are currently being used are actually NOAA weather satellites that NASA collaborates with NOAA to design, develop, and launch. But on board those weather satellites, there's instrumentation specifically for search and rescue, and that's been operational since the mid-80s. And to date has been responsible, along with our international partners, in saving over 28,000 lives, over 6,200 in the U.S. alone.
How do you get to be important enough to activate the satellites and say, go to it? I mean, just any old buddy or?
Well, that's the beauty of it. It really is a public service. People have to do in order to take advantage of the system is simply to buy the emergency beacons that are readily available to the public. There are three types of beacons available, and they're specific to a particular application. So there's an emergency located transmitter that is designed for aeronautical use, in other words, in airplanes, in case of an airplane crash. There's an emergency position indicating reporting beacon, which we refer to as an EPIRB, which is designed for marine applications so that marine vessels will have these on board in case of an emergency at sea. And then the last and the most recent are called personal locating beacons, which are handheld devices that can be carried by hikers and campers and anybody that wants this service available to them personally. The other difference is that the beacons for the marine and aeronautical use have an automatic deployment mechanism so that you don't have to activate them. Obviously, in the case of a crash or an emergency at sea, you may not be able to activate them, so they will automatically deploy. The personal locator beacon, because of its nature, is manually activated when somebody's in distress.
My gosh, I have visions of skiers on the mountains or hikers on Everest or just anywhere saying they press the button and I'm in trouble, come get me?
Absolutely. And then those, obviously in those applications you're talking about, that would be the PLBs that people could choose to carry and at any time that they're in distress can send off the signal and rescue forces will be notified and try and effect a rescue. NASA has been involved in this system from its very inception. Originally, there was requirements back in the 70s made on commercial vessels to carry a very sort of rudimentary analog type of beacon that was only designed to be heard through aircraft radios that were in the vicinity. NASA had the idea that you could relay that signal through a satellite and detect it on the ground to give you a much wider coverage area to locate that distress. Since then, there's been many advances on the system, and NASA has continually done development to improve the system that is deployed by NOAA and used by the Coast Guard and the Air Force to actually effect rescues. One of the areas has been advancements in the beacons themselves. They've gone from the old-style analog to a newer-style digital beacon that actually carries some information in a digital message that gets transmitted. The example that's been used is the conversion from analog TV to the new digital TV to give you much more capability. We've made that advancement. And then the other advancements have been to do with the actual satellites that have been used. We currently use what's termed low Earth orbiting weather satellites. They're augmented by the geostationary weather satellites. And now we have recently finished the first stage of development on what's called the distress alerting satellite system, which is based on the search and rescue repeaters being flown on the GPS constellation of satellites. And this will be a significant advancement as well that will help improve the system even further beyond what's already a very effective system.
So the advancement for NASA is that you're perfecting the technology that helps make these GPS locators more effective.
The beacons, right. And the beacons, it's important to understand basically how we determine the location of a beacon. It can be done in two ways. The beacon itself could have a GPS receiver in it, which could transmit its own location. A lot of beacons as yet still do not have that capability, and sometimes in certain environments, even if you do have that capability, the receiver won't get an accurate fix to transmit. So we have a backup to that, and we can calculate the location of the beacon even if it doesn't transmit its own location. We do that in the ground station on the ground. What we've done for the new system here at NASA is we've recently completed what we call the proof of concept for this new system using the GPS constellation satellites. And that's been demonstrated here, and we're trying to advance that through the various stages of development to have it become an operational component of the system.
Walk me through a real-life scenario of how it works.
We have an animation of where a boat, for instance, could be in distress, and the beacon will automatically activate when salt water gets on it, and so the signal will start being transmitted at regular intervals, and that signal will go out up through the air and be repeated back down to ground through, in this case, in the newest system, the DAS system, through multiple GPS satellites at the same time. So there'll be anywhere between 4 and 8 satellites in view of the ground station and the beacon, and those messages relayed to those satellites will be used on the ground to calculate the location of that beacon. That information will be forwarded through what we call a mission control center and then on to the rescue coordination center, which will actually coordinate the rescue. In this case, for a marine environment, it would be done by the Coast Guard. If it was an event on land, it would be done by the Air Force.
I'm stuck on a mountain. How do I know that the Air Force is gonna respond to my request for help? It's just if you buy into the system, then you're automatically plugged in?
There's nothing you have to do. Any responsible user who's interested in taking advantage of the system should do is not only buy a modern beacon with as much capability as is available. The modern beacons that are still supported by this system operate at a frequency of 406 megahertz, and and with those beacons, they are the ones that carry the digital message. And the beacon you would want to buy would have a GPS receiver in it, so that if it's capable of getting its own location, it'll transmit its own location through that message. The other important thing that you would want to do as a consumer is register that beacon with a database maintained by NOAA. And I don't have the web page memorized, but there is a web page you can go to learn all about how to register your beacon. What that allows the rescue forces to do is to look up information on your beacon in a database, and they can get a lot of information based just on that once the signal is received, before they even locate and start responding. It was an individual, Dennis Clements, who I think it was in January, was sailing to some small island off of Puerto Rico. He checked the weather, but the weather surprised him. He was 250 miles off the coast and started getting hit by very high seas and bad weather. He gives a very detailed account, but essentially what happened to him was the beacon got automatically activated. And at some point, a little bit later, he got separated from the vessel. It basically did a violent roll and threw him from the vessel, and he saw his already in distress vessel sail away from him. So he was alone in the dark in the middle of a storm 250 miles off the coast. What he didn't know was because that beacon started transmitting automatically, there was already a rescue being persecuted. What he first saw was a C-130 overfly his location, and then I believe it made a second pass and dropped some life rafts that he eventually found. And then he was rescued by coordination with the U.S. Navy. There was the USS Eisenhower was in the vicinity and dispatched a rescue helicopter. A U.S. Navy diver descended and pulled him out of this heavy sea in the middle of a storm. And he is very, very thankful to the fact that this system that he was only mildly aware of saved his life. I think that what we're trying to accomplish here is just public awareness and make sure that people take full advantage of a system that the government is supplying to them. First, recognize that the government is through an interagency government program providing a very valuable resource. In order for them to take full advantage of it, of course, we want to impress upon them the need to buy the most appropriate equipment and register it properly so that it can take the best advantage of it in the unfortunate event that they need it.